Log Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. If you can hear me, call in at
323-753-0849.
Well, I can't call it. Yeah. Hi, I'm calling. I'm on the air, but I don't have, like, the prompt for the switchboard or anything. I see the countdown, but I don't even have the mic. I don't have the switchboard, but yet it says I'm on the air. My dog dialed in, and it's my host pin. I am connected. However, I don't see anything on the switchboard. Sure, the host ID is 886563. No? Hold on. Sorry, it's 234-9003. I don't even have my tools at the top to refresh. Yeah, possibly I could try to get in through there. Part of, I guess, the internet, but we are going to be talking tonight about the prophetic warning for the compromising church. Again, you can hear us, give us a call. We just want to make sure we're live on the air. Our guest call-in number is 323-375-0849. Father God, we just thank you. We come against all interference, all demonic activity that is trying to hinder this program from going on. Lord God, we ask that you strengthen us. Help us, Lord God, that we will be what you called us to be. Lord God, we just thank you for all the many blessings. And tonight we're talking about the prophetic warning to the compromising church. We know there's a lot of things going on in the news. We have weather situations all over the country. We were hit with an ice storm here in Atlanta. It's just been crazy. Today we see that an earthquake or earthshake, 4-point-something earthshake hit in South Carolina. So we see there's a lot of strange phenomena going on. And over in Russia where they're playing the Olympics, it got up to 60 degrees. So, people, I just want to say, when God sends warning, he sends it a lot of times in various ways in the weather. He said that in the Bible, in Matthew, the season. It's time for the church to stop playing church. It's time for the church to start teaching the word, because judgment is coming to the house of God. Judgment. You hear what I'm saying? Yes, we know God is a God of love. God is a God of grace and mercy. But there is a time when God do bring judgment. And he brings judgment first to the house of God, which is the church. And that's what we're talking about. These prophetic warnings to the church we're talking on in particular was to Pergamum. If you would look in the book of Revelation, he said 7 times to 7 churches, I know thy works. What was he saying? Although you may try to hide, you may mask around like you're religious, God said, I'm looking, and I know your heart. I know what's buried down inside. I know if you're truly worshiping me. Okay, let's go on. The church, when God brought this warning to the church in Pergamon, they were the compromising church, like we see so many churches today. And a lot of times when the trumpet is sounded, first of all, if you notice in Revelation, He said the angels blew the trumpet. The trumpet is a representation of the Lord. If you don't have spiritual ears, he said, he that has ears, let him hear what God is saying to his people. If you don't have spiritual ears, you're not going to hear. Because your ears, your senses are dulled, and you can't hear the prophetic voice coming through God's preachers and teachers. You're going to have a deaf ear because you don't want to hear the truth. This particular city, Pergamon, it was a very prosperous city. It was fortified and well-defended. Both Smyrna and Pergamon were part of the same kingdom ruled by Attalus, who was shrewd enough to help them defeat the Seleucids during the Punic Wars. So you see, Pergamon was a very prosperous city. Among the public buildings, Pergamon had Empire's second largest library and a theater that seated over 200,000 people. Think about it. That was a huge, usually the Colosseums and everything like that. So it was a very prosperous city. Sound like America and some of these big cities today are countries, very prosperous. What God had against them, it was where the church started mixing in with the world. The church started compromising with the city, with the people in the city. And we see that today. So you may say, well, God is not going to, that happened, and they were destroyed, but it won't happen today. But according to the Bible, according to the scripture, God do not go back on his word. And if he judged them, he will judge us today. Let's go on. This particular city, Pergamon, had become the very center of the emperor worship in Asia. It says many of the people, Bible scholars, believe that the phrase for Satan dwells refers to emperor worship, while others claim Satan's throne to be referenced to the altar of Zeus. They had a lot of idol worship going on, even like we see today. And now they're so bold with their idol worship. And the sad thing, they have idol worship in the church. So they have different things that they worship other than God. People from all over the empire will come to Pergamon to be healed by Asclepius. That's a snake, a symbol of the cult of Asclepius. The temple was infested with snakes. So you see that they did a lot of snake worship. They had a lot of snakes, like a lot of temples in India today. They have a lot of rats, a lot of animals, but they had snake worship. This is where we get the medical symbol. If you notice, our medical symbol has the snake wrapped around the symbol. It says the snake, where they will come, the people will come from all over. This snake was supposed to be a healer. It would heal them. So they was worshiping all these snake deities, and one of the ways they would indulge is the consumption of raw meat and wine. And those who joined in the type of worshiping would get so wild, sexual perversion was intertwined in their festivals. They would get so wild in this particular city that they had to ban a lot of it. It was outlawed in the city. Rome became sore mall. The images engraved on the coins excavated from archaeological ruins showed the snake amidst fruits and vegetables. Some coins even that portrayed the emperor standing before a snake coiled around a tree. Therefore, when the business went, he would be confronted with the cultic practices that included the very symbol of the evil one himself, the snake. Now, you notice that. A lot of people that's in this witchcraft and demonic worship, what do they have? Snakes. It's like they have a snake wrapped around them. They have some kind of snake on a necklace. that represents the evil one, the demon, the snake god. The definition of the Greek word Pergamon is objectionable marriage, which alludes to the church. When you think of a marriage, that's a union, that's a uniting, coming together. It represents the church mixing the truth with the lies of questionable teachers such as the Nicolaitans. This is why God rebuked them. This is why God sent a warning to the church, because he said, here you are mixing. You're supposed to be married to me. You're supposed to be my bride. But you are mixing with that, the worldly pleasures, and you are bringing idolatry and fornication up in my temple. And you're teaching it like it's something to be proud of. How many of it, just, you don't have to raise your hands, but you got a lot of them right up in your hands, but they lift holy hands, praising Jesus. Yeah, God is a God of mercy. God is a God of peace. But they take it like it's just out of norm. It's okay to have your lover on the side. I'm going to church tomorrow, but I got my lover on the side. Well, this is how the church had mixed the world with the things of God. He said you were married, but what it is, it's divorce. You separated yourself from God. Listen, we see a lot of that today. Pergamon, there was spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery. This is what he was saying over in 2 Peter. Eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained to covetous practices, have cursed children. They have forsaken the way and gone astray, following the way of Baal, the son of Beor, on 2 Peter 13. This is why it's so dabble to teach false doctrine. Because when you're teaching false doctrine, what you're doing, you're allowing that spirit to come in your congregation, and it brings a state of, I would say, just you take the people away from God. You're pulling them away from God, and you're teaching this false doctrine. So delusion comes over the body of Christ, and they don't know what's right and wrong. That's why it's so necessary for pastors and teachers to teach the truth. No, you're not going to be popular. I can tell you now. You may not even have a lot of people. Because people nowadays, they have itching ears. They don't want to hear the truth. Like I said, they don't hear the trumpet blowing. They don't hear the spiritual sound coming forth to prepare, warn. I'm coming. Get my people ready. These people are in a state of slumber. And this is how they were in Pergamon. There is no way to know if those teachers, they taught false doctrine. That's what a lot of them are doing today. Oh, well, you're just, don't look at the garbage you see on television. Look at some of everything they teach about covetousness, how to get more money, how to get more stuff. But as far as your life, being holy, they don't even talk about that. They don't even talk about how you can get yourself right with Jesus. They talk about how you could get more stuff. So you can be the biggest sinner ever, but long as you pay your tithe, okay. See, when you keep on doctrine and you teach your typical sin here, you're not going to even talk about sin. Now, sin, you can talk about without condemning people, but we have to teach the word. What God is saying, this is what he called us to do. Over in 2 Timothy, he said Timothy was warned by Paul, the Apostle Paul, about this when he said that instead of following sound doctrine, they will hire our teachers. Did you hear me? He said they will hire them. So in other words, If I'm paying you my tithe, you're going to preach what I want to hear, or I'm going to leave the church. Because we don't want to hear sound doctrine. He says teachers that they hire, you see, they will scratch their itching ears. This is over in 2 Timothy 4 and 3. As that happens, the church will start to resemble the church government and compromise the law with Christ. What would that mean? What's up with my eyes? I go to church every Sunday. I don't love Jesus. Yeah, but when you want to take a stand for what's right, when you want to stand for your peer and take on the breastplate of righteousness, and you just say, well, we don't even want to talk about that because we don't want to offend. I hear so many preachers talk about you don't want to talk about what is in the Bible because you don't want to offend somebody because you're bald. Anytime you can't preach the gospel, the true gospel, because you're worried about membership or you're worried about money, you're bald. Because a true person that is walking under God, look at John the Baptist. Look at some of the disciples. He said, he took some of the disciples, your money, you can't buy the things of God with your money. Your money perish with you. We need more people to stand up for righteousness. Because truthfully, it's getting to the point that even when you go to church and you try to fellowship, it's the gospel is so watered down that for the ones who want to grow spiritually, you're giving them a lot of stuff that is not building up the spiritual man. So we're going to have a church full of carnal people. Because if you try to grow in God, you can't partake in a lot of the stuff that they go on in there. There are all kinds of unsaved people coming up over to church talking about different seminars, and you know these people don't profess holiness, but you have them in your church just to get some money. The church was admonished to repent from following these false teachers. That's over in Revelation 2:13. We must point out that some held fast to their faith. And this is what God was saying. For those who hold fast to their faith, he said he was going to give them manna. He would give them a name, a new name. See, you get a new name, the devil recognizes your name. You recognize when you stand fast for the things of God. He said he'd give you the hidden manna, which reflect, you remember he fed them the manna over in Egypt. He gave them manna for 40 years. God gave them manna from heaven. And this is what we want. And let's talk, and I'm going to get out your way, but it's just a few characteristics I just want to point out. And that's why they say, he that has a miracle, let me do what the Spirit is saying in the church. Now, when you're a no-compromise Christian, you won't conform to the things of the world. You say, well, what do conform mean? That means you can't be bought. You know, you're going to stand firm to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Yeah, we're in the world, and we see a lot of things going on in the world, but we don't have to be participating in the stuff. Your number one goal should be like to be like Jesus. That's why we are here. We should strive to be like Jesus, not our bishop, not our pastor, but we should strive to be like Jesus. They love the Lord. Another true trait is they love the Lord with their heart and soul, mind and strength. I didn't say just with lip service. I said your actions. You love the Lord. You want to be found doing everything that pleases to God. Do that mean we're perfect? No. But we're striving daily. They don't partner up with believers. They don't say one night, well, Sunday we go to church, but tonight I'm getting with my girls and we going to the club. That's partnering with unbelievers. Oh, they playing you know, Jay-Z over there, so we going to this concert tonight, but tomorrow we go Sunday, we going to church. You see that marriage power. 1 minute you in the day, not 1 minute you out. Your partner, they'd rather suffer and die than compromise their faith. They are actively fleeing from sin. They make it a daily walk to try to obey the commandments of God. They are doers of the word. They're not hearers only. They fear the Lord God, and they turn away from evil. They speak with encouraging, edifying, and wise words. They pray with fervor and prayer. They study the word. These are traits of someone who tries to know after Jesus. Not even coupled with some of the blood that you watch on TV. Because it can hinder your relationship with God. If all I do is sit up and watch pornography, or if I sit up and watch all, some of this garbage is close to pornography. They just don't have the X's on it, but some of it you even have to turn it off. But see, this is why the Lord said we're in the world, but that's the world. Our main focus should be to follow Jesus Christ wholeheartedly, to do what God called us to do. You see? So
this is why it's so damnable.
I don't know what happened with that, but at this time, we're going to let Pastor Bob come on and he can start as the Lord leads him. So I hope you guys were blessed. I hope everything, you know, that I said was a blessing to you. And keep us in prayer, because, I mean, we come on and sometimes the program don't want to participate, so we're doing what God called us to do, amen? So you guys be blessed, and we'll talk next week.
Right now, people of the Most High God, we're going to go into various scriptures. We're going to bring out the Word of God in reference to our subject, in reference to the compromising church. And we're going to talk about what God says in His Word in reference to compromise. All right? We're going to deal with that a little bit. Going directly to the Word of God. I'm going to start in the Old Testament, and then I'm going to go over to the New Testament. So this is going to be straight word, none of my opinion, none of anyone's opinion, but we're dealing only with the Word of the Living God. That's where we're going. Now, the first verse that I'm going to deal with, I'm going all the way back to Genesis. I'm going to bring out something in Genesis 6, 1 through 22, and this is what the Word is saying. When man began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the sons of man were attractive, and their wives had any they chose. Then the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years, and we know that many men and women don't reach 120 years now. But the Lord said at that time that his days won't be 120 years. The Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward when the sons of God came into the daughter of man, and they were children to them. These were the mighty men who were of old, the men of renown. The Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now the Lord saw something. He saw that things were out of order, and there was no compromise in his thought. He said that they were evil. He didn't say that he thought they were evil, or he was going to let that slide or pass. He said they were evil and continually evil. That was all that was on, in their hearts in that time. Genesis 6, 1 through 22. So I brought out that one verse. Now, the second verse I want to bring out is Joshua. We're talking about the compromise in church. But it's not just the compromise in church. It's the compromising peace of God. What God thinks about compromise. He doesn't think very well of it. Matter of fact, he doesn't condone it at all, but I'm going to bring it to you through his word. So it's not my opinion. It's what the word says. And that's what we have to go by, people, the word of God. We can't go by so much what people say or people's opinions, but we have to go strictly on the word of God. Now, Exodus 24:14-25 says, now serve the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away, God says, put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. God didn't say there, well, you can mess with those other gods. You can play with them a little bit. You can go off of some of their words. You can go in their camp a little bit. You can play with them a little bit. No, Joshua's not saying that. What he's saying is serve the Lord. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is evil in your eyes, serve the Lord. Choose this day whom you will serve. For the gods your father served in the region beyond the river are the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Now see, that's cut and dry. All through the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, God does not condone compromise. Matter of fact, compromise will get you in trouble with the Lord and will open the door to attacks of the devil and sickness and disease and oppression and even possession. When you are in the compromising mindset, see, it starts in your mind. When you start to begin to look at the things of the world and desire things of the world and dwell on the things of the world, then you can begin to justify worldly things, and then you will compromise. And when you compromise, what you are actually doing is destroying the witness that you have for the Lord. It turns down and destroying your testimony that you have in God for righteousness. And we can't afford to do that. Because when we do that, we are saying that God is not who he really says he is. We are saying by our actions that Jesus Christ, it is not the Lord of us and the King of Kings and the Mighty One. You see, so we have to be careful with that. God has never condoned compromise. And so we should not condone compromise. We should not be compromisers. Now, Sister Montgomery spoke on these things earlier. And the effect that it has on the believer, but on the unbeliever also. Because when the unbeliever sees a compromising believer or a compromising Christian, then he doesn't know where to stand. We are the only representation of Christ on the earth. And if we're running after the same thing that they're running after, what are they going to believe? Where can they stand? What will they do? Who will they turn to for proper guidance in the things of God? in the things of Jesus Christ. Then that's why they go into false religions. That's why they go into things that's not going to benefit them spiritually in reference to God and Christ. Now, I'm going off of the Word. I'm not going off of my own opinions. I'm going off the Word of God. Just like today, who are you going to say? What's going to be all of those falls on the other side of the flood? Or the true and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, that same God that parted the Red Sea, the same God that put the 10 plagues on Israel and brought the Hebrews or the Israelites out of the land of slavery. You see, when you compromise and you go back under the yoke of faith, or you start to deal and have the thing that he puts forth, then that is a snare. That is a snare to the believer, and it's a snare to the unbeliever, because you're halt between two opinions. You're vacillating back and forth. You're going back and forth, back and forth. When people see that, that's like doubt. Doubt and disbelief. You can't deal in doubt and disbelief. You can't do that. You can't. So I'm going to go on to another verse here. And what we're talking about is the prophetic warning to the compromising church, or the prophetic warning to the compromising believer or the compromising Christian, because the church can be narrowed down to each individual. The church is not just a building. The church is made up of believers, so it comes down to each person. It comes down to each person. So, God is talking to each and every individual, and every believer. Now, let me go to another scripture. First Kings 19:1-21. Now, when we talk about Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Did you hear that? Elijah came against all the false prophets of Jezebel and Ahab. And there were 850 false prophets. 850 worshippers of false gods. But Elijah stood fast. He did not compromise. He didn't look at the numbers. He didn't look at their wealth. He didn't look at anything except they were false, and they were disseminating false things of God. They were telling lies. They were taking advantage of people. Jezebel was killing all the true prophets of God, and Elijah stood up and said, hey, now for this. And the God that answers by fire is going to be the God that we serve. God answered by fire. He licked up the whole altar that was drenched with water. God destroyed that altar. He burnt it up even to that it didn't even exist anymore. That's what God did. The gods that those false prophets worship didn't do a thing. They didn't show up. They didn't make a sound. They did nothing. But Elijah didn't compromise. Now, as a result of not compromising, Jezebel got mad. Jezebel threatened his life. Elijah being a man, even though God did what he did, Elijah was afraid, but God strengthened him. God encouraged him. And here's to me, and more often, if I make your life the life of one of them by this time tomorrow. In other words, Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. Just like you destroyed my prophets, I'm going to find you and I'm going to kill you. That's what Jezebel told Elijah. Now, the scripture said that Elijah was afraid, and he arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey and came down under a broom tree, and he asked that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my fathers." And he lay down and slept under a broom tree, and behold, an angel touched him and said to him, "Arise and eat." So, when you don't compromise, the Lord will, he will encourage you. He will comfort you. And that's the word of God. So we don't have to compromise regardless of the threats, regardless of what the enemy might say to us. In Daniel 3:16-18, we're talking about compromise. And when you talk about compromise, you also have to think about people who don't compromise. So what I want to dwell on is the people that don't compromise, the people that dwell in the Lord, and the people that obey the Lord, and the people that stand up. We need to be standing up for the Lord in this evil day, because there are many that are not. So there are people that must stand up for the word of God, because that is not only our deliverance, but it is the deliverance for people who are not saved or people who do not believe. Now, Daniel 3:16-18 reads, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve God or worship the golden image that you have set up." Now, these young men knew that if they didn't compromise their belief in God, that they would be destroyed. They would be thrown in a fiery furnace. They knew this. They knew that they were putting their natural life at risk. But what did they say? They still did not compromise. They said, "If you burn us up, we're still not going to worship your God. We're still not going to bow down to the image that you set forth. So, let's go on with it. Throw it in there. We don't care. But we are not compromising." You see, God does not support compromise in any way. And if he doesn't support compromise, neither should we. In reference to God. In reference to God's word. It makes no difference what others do. It makes no difference how other people twist the word. Makes no difference how other people twist and pervert God's word. God still says, "Do not compromise." That's what the Lord said. Do not compromise. People of the Most High God, don't be fearful of anything. The word of God tells us that the fearful and the least shall have the part in the lake of fire. Now, that's the word of God. Go to Revelation 3. It is there. Read. That's what fear will cause you to compromise. And what is that fear that God is talking about? The fear of standing up for righteousness. Fear of standing up for the Lord. the fear of speaking the truth of God's word. That's the fear that the word of God is talking about. It's not talking about a type of fear where you, you know, you're scared of a spider or, you know, you're scared of a snake. He's not talking about that kind of fear. He's not talking about a natural kind of fear. He's talking about a spiritual fear. Whereas when the enemy comes against you, you compromise. You back. You bow. No. 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 From the Old Testament to the New Testament, the people that God spoke of and spoke of in admiration were those who stood up regardless of what was going to happen to them. Now listen to this. In Zechariah 5, in Zechariah 14, 1, 2, 3, 3, and this is some prophetic call. Zechariah mentions then, but it was a reference to what didn't happen. But it's still in reference to compromise and what God and Christ considers and thinks about that. And as I said earlier, he doesn't think very well of it. Matter of fact, he doesn't think, he doesn't condone it at all. Now, and then after that, we'll be finishing up. Zechariah 14, 1 through 21. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord. Zechariah 14, 1 through 21. Behold, a day is coming for the Lord, when the spoil taken from you will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses plundered, and the women raped. Half of the city, listen, half of the city shall go out into exile, but the rest of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go out. The Lord will go out. And I think those nations as when Christ on a day. Wow. On that day, his feet shall stand on the Mount of Olives that lies before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west by a very wide valley, so that one half of the mount shall move northward and the other half southward. And you shall flee to the valley of my mountains, for the valley of the mountains shall reach to Azal. And you shall flee as you fled from the earth in the face of Azal king Judah. Then the Lord, my God, will come, and the holy ones with him. Now, for Zechariah is saying, we know that Israel has been scattered and plundered by many nations. But what the Lord was saying then, he was speaking prophetically, future tense, because the Lord Jesus Christ shall come, and he shall plant his feet on the Mount of Olives physically. This is not spiritually. This is physically. The Lord will come, and he will deal with the evil that is going forth on the earth. He's not coming and compromising. No. He's not coming and shaking hands with them. He's not coming, well, no, that sin was all right, but that sin not all right. He's not coming like that. He's coming as a warrior. He's coming to set things right. And if you compromise when he comes back, well, it's over. You don't even have to worry about it anymore, because he's going to deal with that accordingly. Now, we're talking about compromising church. We're talking about compromising people. We're talking about the compromising believer. But see, when you compromise, you weaken yourself. Look. When you begin to fellowship anyway with the evil one or the devil, you're going to lose. You're going to lose out. Because when you do that, the enemy is not ever going to tell you the truth. But one thing we do know that the only thing the enemy is consistent in is this: lying, stealing, destroying, and killing. That's the only thing that the devil is consistent in. Lying, stealing, destroying, and killing. That's it. So why would you compromise with him? Why would you fellowship with him? Why would you talk with him? Why would you deal with him in any way? Why would you compromise with any of the devil? And the only thing he's concerned about is taking you out. Why? Why? Why would you do that? I don't understand it. I really don't. Now, I'm going to read one more verse to you, and then I'm going to close it out. Numbers 25, 113, and it reads this: Israel, you have to hold the brothers of Moab. Wow. The word to come right out. These invited the people to the sacrifice of their gods, and the people ate and bowed down to their gods. So Israel yoked himself to Baal of Peor, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and the Lord said to Moses, take all the chiefs of the people and hang them in the sun before the Lord, that the fierce anger of the Lord may turn away from Israel. And Moses said to the judges of Israel, each of you kill those of his men who have yoked themselves to Baal of Peor. And I'm getting ready to close it out. So you see right there, people, God never compromises. He didn't say, well, you know, it's okay that they're going down to the women of Moab. I'm going to just let that slide. I'm going to let that pass. You know, I know that, you know, men, you know, got to mess around with women. But God didn't say that. He said, take everyone out there and choke them. Now, we live in the age of faith, but God's attitude toward that type of thing is still the same. So, people, don't compromise. Love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, everything that you have. Because if not, the devil will give up. The enemy will step in to destroy, because that's what he wants to do anyway. But at that, I want to close it out. I want you to be ready. Our next broadcast is going to be in reference to Jezebel. We're going to be talking about Jezebel. We're going to bring out some things about her. We're going to elaborate on her, on her worship, on the things that she got involved in her reference, her relationship to God and to God's people. We're going to deal with that. But right now, we're going to just close out with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we ask you, everyone that is listening and watching the broadcast, Father God, we lift them up to you, that you would touch their hearts, their minds, give them the revelation of your word. We ask that you heal them, that you deliver them, that you set them free. We come against every spirit that would bind them up. We come against spirits of oppression, depression. We come against things that would cause infirmity in them. We bind them up and we cast them out right now by the blood and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen and amen. Now, we look forward to hearing from you all in our next program. We're going to talk about Jezebel and that Jezebel spirit. So we look forward to being with you all. Next program, be blessed, be blessed, be blessed.